We're going to talk about Andy Ngo coming up in just a second and what's happening in Portland. Stand by for that. Also, a great guest, Bridget Phetasy, is coming up on today's show. You do not want to miss that. I want to talk to you a little bit about Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock is actually something that Pat turned us both on to.
Whatever.
Well, I was just thinking
about rewrite history yet again, just like your museum. Unbelievable.
I thought it was Pat that did that. It was you?
Yeah, so it means a little less to you now?
Yeah, it does. Well, anyway, so Stu turned Pat on, and Pat turned me on onto Home Title Lock, because I think this is really something that each of us kind of found separately, and we're like, what? Once you hear it. Once a friend tells you, hey, by the way, it's super easy to steal somebody's house. If you have any equity in your house, your mortgage, your title could be taken. And then everything that you have in your house, you could lose. And it's happening. In fact, in New York City, the police call it an epidemic. This is crazy. There's only one company that's really doing anything about it, and it's Home Title Lock. You get free protection for 30 days when you just sign up and just see if this has already happened. You get the free protection for 30 days. HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. Do it now.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
You know what's really amazing is how blind the media is, or how blind, no, I shouldn't say that. How blind the people who just get their news from mainstream media, how blind they truly are. They have no idea what's really going on in the real world. What's happening in Portland is un-American. I mean, in many ways un-American, but America really is known for its law and order. That's what allows us to be successful. Law and order. But where is law and order? Where's the governor of Oregon? Where is the mayor of Portland? A journalist was beaten and is still in the hospital today with a brain bleed. The media hasn't covered it. The Portland police, because they are under the direction of the mayor, do nothing about it. Is Portland even part of the United States anymore? We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, welcome to July 1st. We are just a few days away from a really important... It is the Christmas, I think, if you will, for Americas, for Americans. It is the most important holiday of the year. If you take out all religious holidays, this is so very important because we don't celebrate July 4th. We celebrate Independence Day. Now, as you're celebrating, it's not just about the cookouts and the fireworks and the long summer nights. It is a time to remember our founders and the incredible sacrifice they made for our country. I am proud to be an American, and it doesn't take a flyover and it doesn't take a flag being waved for me to be proud, because I'm not proud of those things per se. I'm proud of what those things stand for and what those things protect. Same thing with guns in America. The United States Concealed Carry Association would like to help you be able to protect the Second Amendment rights. They are the people that are offering expert training, education, self-defense, legal protection, which is so important. And in honor of the 4th of July, they're giving away $1,776 of guns, ammo, and gear for free. It's called the 4th of July Freedom Giveaway. And with it, you get two free chances to win $1,776 in money just by texting the word BECK to the number 87222. Prize money gets you a Ruger Mini 14, an Otis cleaning system, a 9-line wood flag sign, and ammo. All you need to do is just text BECK, B-E-C-K, to the number 87222. There is a catch. This is all over, and they draw on July 5th. You have to claim your two free entries to win right now by texting BECK to the number 87222.
If you see them, let them know that I'm looking for direction, something solid I can hold.
So what's solid anymore? Remember I told you that everything that was liquid would be solid, and everything that was solid will be liquid someday? Well, isn't that it? I mean, what are the rules anymore? What are the laws? If we don't enforce our laws, do our laws matter? In Portland, they don't. A Portland area reporter known for his coverage of far-left violence has been injured in an attack by alleged members of Antifa, leaving him hospitalized with a brain bleed. If you know who Andy Ngo is, pray for him. Send your thoughts and prayers. He would appreciate them. He's in the hospital today for a brain bleed. He is an editor at Quillette, which is, if you haven't gone to Quillette.com, you should. It's really, really good. It's classical liberalism.
It's been described everywhere as a conservative website, which is not what it is.
It's not.
It's really not.
It is if you want to define conservatives as constitutional. Constitutional conservatives are classical liberals. They are people that you're not always going to agree with, and sometimes they don't even agree. They're like, I hate to say this, I don't want this to be true, but if we like freedom, we have to support this.
And a lot of times it's aligned with our Constitution, but it was started by an Australian. It's not even an American publication.
Correct. Anyway, so he is one of the editors at Quillette, and he's also the host of the podcast Things You Should Know. He was reporting on the Antifa street demonstrations in Portland on the 29th of last month, and that's over the weekend. He was in Portland. He was on the streets. There was another big protest down in the park, and he was filming the police taking bats away from people. You can't have any bats in the park. All of the people that were there, he was documenting. For instance, I loved this, the Satanists of Portland were there, their little group, and their little logo was out in the park. All kinds of different groups, including a lot of communist flags, red flags. The Democratic Socialists were the organizers of it, and they were selling milkshakes, so you could milkshake somebody. And by the way, the
vegan milkshakes,
mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. apparently are now including a little bit of concrete mm-hmm. in them.
Quick drying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no big deal. Little concrete, little milkshake. How could that hurt anybody? So Andy is standing there, and all he's doing is filming. And he says, I've watched all of the videos from him, and he starts to say, people are following me. They're trying to block me. They harass him. He leaves several times, goes over to the police, and he says, look, I'm being harassed. Are you guys going to do anything? Nope. They do nothing. He goes back. He comes back. I have evidence. I'm being harassed. Are you going to do anything? No. He goes back. This time, in the middle of the street, they take their signs, the wood signs, because they don't have any bats. They take anything that they have. They start hurling things at him, of course, milkshakes, then some sort of a chemical is thrown into his face. They beat him with the wood signs, and he's bleeding from his ears, he's bleeding from his eyes, they do nothing. The police do nothing. He's now in the hospital with a brain bleed. We hope that he is doing well. We hope that he is doing better. It was my understanding last night that he was out of the hospital, but I heard just about an hour ago that it looks like he is still in the hospital. We'd love to talk to him when he is able to talk. But watch the video. It's pretty shocking.
It's amazing that that's happening in an American city. And that the police and the mayor seem to have absolutely no concern. I mean, I'm sure the police want to step in on these cases. We've heard from them before. But the mayor has a very specific ideology that allows this.
If you're living in Portland or anywhere in Oregon and you have seen this, can you just call us and tell us, how are people dealing with this? I mean, how do you go to Portland? How do you work in Portland with this? Are you in fear? You know, it's amazing to me. We should put this up for this weekend. We started our museum this last weekend, and I'll talk to you about it. And it's all about freedom. And there's one place in the center of our atrium that is really pretty shocking. It has Klan members and the Klan outfits with the hoods and the hanging tree. And behind that is the hanging cage with the orange jumpsuits. And these are jumpsuits from slaves, ISIS slaves, that we actually freed. And so these are actual jumpsuits from people that were taken by ISIS. And next to it is an actual ISIS uniform and gun belt and everything else that was taken from an ISIS member, both wearing masks. The same thing is happening with Antifa. Now, why the mask? Is it because they don't want to get caught? They don't want people knowing who they are? No, masks are used by people like this because they want to make sure that you don't know who they are, not for fear of trouble, because as you know, they're not getting in trouble in Portland, not for fear that you will know who they are, but they want to be able to blend back into society so you never know if that's the guy that was trying to beat you up. Was that the guy that came into my house and took my husband and lynched him in a tree? I don't know, because all I saw is his eyes behind the white mask. Is that the person that came and was rounding up all the Christians in our community and beheaded them? I don't know, because all I saw were his eyes in the black ISIS mask. Is this the group of people that were hassling and beating up Andy No? Well, we're not really sure, because all we saw were the eyes. They want to blend into society so they never reveal. You never know if you're safe. Is this person at the store that's working behind the counter, are they actually Antifa? This is about fear and intimidation. And that is as un-American as you can get. No one in America should be afraid, especially when the police can do something about it. Was it good? Was this a good thing when people were making Martin Luther King afraid? When they were throwing things through his window? When they were burning down black businesses? Was that a good thing? Is it a good thing that they're just taking people? For instance, the guy in the wheelchair. There's a right by the park. There's this apartment complex where the elderly live. They're scared to come out of their houses. Is it okay for people who had food carts that had been there forever, that their business is destroyed? How can we possibly have freedom if there is no security? See, here's the thing. We all got together in a pact. And this happened long, long time ago. We were all just kind of together, and yet we were all responsible for our own farm or whatever. And when we would be raided, there would be nobody there to help. When we would be in town, our families could be molested. When we had something go wrong, we had nobody except our neighbors. And so what we did is we became more and more specialized, as we said, you know what? I'll grow the wheat. You make the bread. So I didn't have to do everything in my life. You know, I'll make the wheat and I'll trade you wheat if you'll help build the barn. As we started to do those things, and we busied ourselves in our own world to be able to exist, we needed to hire people to watch over the things, because we couldn't do that, keep the bad guys away, and be a farmer and be a logger or a miller, a shopkeeper. So we hired somebody to do that. And we hired a mayor to make sure that was happening. Now the mayor of Portland is not doing that. This mayor is not protecting American citizens. The police are not protecting American citizens. They are allowing American citizens who are fully in their right to drive down the street. You see the woman who was trapped in her car, Antifa surrounding her, yelling at her, spitting on her. Why? Because she was just driving down the street. They took control of the streets again. Is that America? And by the way, the media is doing... No, I was going to say they're doing nothing. No, they're doing worse than nothing. Let me give you a flashback of Chris Cuomo. Here he is on CNN talking about Antifa.
And talk about Antifa. I've watched them in the streets protesting in different situations, okay? There are certainly aspects of them that are true to a cause. That is a good cause. They want social justice. They want whatever they want in that context. You tell
Not
me
Antifa.
When that has
Antifa
ever
is
happened.
Anarchists.
You tell me when that has ever happened. With neo-Nazis, where they have ever been doing
Chris, Antifa
the right thing.
Is not a good cause. Antifa does not have good aims. Antifa wants power, wants political power taken through force. That's what Antifa
Steve,
is all about. I mean, they are the inheritors
about
of
what
Nazis.
I'm
and-
That's what the media is doing. They're not covering Andy Ngo. And if they do, they'll make him into some right-wing kook. Portland, Oregon. You better stand up. And federal government, isn't it time you demand what Ted Cruz is demanding? Action being taken against these mayors and anyone else who won't enforce the law. This is a corrupt system. And people, Americans, who are not dressed in black, who are not afraid to have their face being seen, those Americans need protection, and they need it now. So July 4th means summer is heating up. My gosh, it is the fires of hell here in Texas. It is so hot and humid here. No, I love it. There was some concert going on at the International Speedway. Either this weekend or it's coming up next weekend. And I thought, well, that's where I want to be, right on the hot tarmac. Oh, my gosh. It is so hot. Anyway, you can reduce the heat buildup in your house by as much as 50%. It's Blinds.com. They will help you. And it's 50% off everything right now. Blinds.com, America's number one online choice for affordable, quality, custom window coverings, and their award-winning design consultants are with you every step of the way for free. Plus, every order gets free shipping, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So go to Blinds.com right now and save up to 50% on everything. Plus, you'll save an extra $20 this 4th of July with promo code BECK. So save 50% off of everything, plus an additional $20 if you use the promo code BECK. That's Blinds.com, promo code BECK. We break now for 10 seconds, station ID. This is the Glenn Beck Program. I'm Glenn Beck, along with Stu Bregeer, our executive producer, and Melissa on the phone from Oregon. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
Hi, Stu.
Hey, how's it going?
So, it's good.
Good.
I'm not in Portland, so it's good.
Where are you now?
I'm actually in Texas. I came to see your museum yesterday.
Oh, wow. What'd you think?
So... It was awesome.
Good.
It was fantastic.
Good.
But I've lived in Portland since I was 10, and we sold our house in December because we couldn't take it anymore. My daughter is 9. She's not safe there. It's bleeding out of Portland now. We were living just outside the city of Portland and Southeast Portland, and it's crazy. It's nuts. We got robbed. Police won't even show up. We don't go into Portland. We avoid it like the plague.
What?
Because you take your life into your hands.
Well, this is a great American city. Portland is a beautiful city. What is the mayor thinking?
I don't have any idea what that man is thinking. I didn't vote for him. I don't understand him. People are dying. People are getting beaten. People's cars are getting beaten. You can't even drive in the street without Antifa beating your car.
Were people around you, were the neighbors all cool with this?
No.
They are?
Nobody knows what to do, though.
They're not
cool with it.
Okay, all right.
No, but nobody knows what to do because you got the mayor allowing it. What do we do? You can't protest Antifa because they'll go strictly to violence right away. You can't. What do you do?
All right. Thank you, Melissa. I'm glad that you were down here at the museum this weekend. Let me go to Hannah in Oregon. Hello, Hannah.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Stu. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I don't live in Portland, but I'm about to head in there for work today. I work in downtown Portland and have for a couple of years, actually, in news. And I was working during last year's protest between Antifa and, at that time, Patriot Prayer, when it turned into a riot. And it's just crazy. Luckily, most of their protests are on the weekend, so I don't know that it impacts a great number of commuters. But when it does, it's like everything shuts down. They shut down the streets. Police have to come out and, like, fire, what are those projectiles?
The rubber bullets?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it seems like something you wouldn't see in America.
How do you and other people in Portland feel about this? Is this... Are people, like our last caller just said, they don't like it, but what are you going to do about it? Or are most people in agreement with the ideas, at least, of Antifa?
I think the latter, for sure. I think most people who live in Portland don't like that this is what their city is like, but they're more politically on Antifa's side. So I think it's hard for them to figure out how they feel about it.
Unbelievable. Are you safe when you go downtown?
I mean, I would say so. I don't feel unsafe, but it's definitely, you know, you have to deal with a lot of things that you might not want to, like protesters yelling at you with bullhorns and stuff.
Wow. What a great place to live. Hannah, thank you so much.
You shouldn't get hit in the head with a crowbar, like the old guy who's just walking down the street.
Yeah, or Andy No, who's in the hospital for a brain bleed today.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Social planning and e-invitation service, one of the biggest sites on the internet, and it has just admitted to a security breach. A hacker has put up for sale 10 million user records from the site. That includes names, usernames, email addresses, passwords, plus dates of birth, phone number, mailing addresses. This breach occurred in February of this year. Now, this isn't the only place, and they don't usually say, oh, by the way, we've been breached. They'll make an announcement, it'll be in the press, and if you've used this service, you probably won't even hear about it. All right, somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and you can miss certain identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. If you did an e-invitation to something, your information can be out on the dark web right now. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Nobody can identify all theft, monitor all transactions at all businesses, but they're the best. LifeLock.com, that's LifeLock.com. Get an extra 10% off your first year if you use the promo code BECK. LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. 1-800-LIFELOCK.
Who's going to cover the actual details of what's happening in Portland? Not the mainstream media. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Subscribe now. Use the promo code Glenn.
If you live in Portland or you've just left Portland, we'd love to hear from you on what is it like to live in a city that seems like a third world country now, where there is no control of the streets and the mayor is in with the bad guys. We go to Jay in Ohio, just left Portland. Hello, Jay.
Hey, good morning, Glenn. I actually left about 7 years ago. I live in Ohio now, where I grew up, and I spent 19 years in Portland. downtown used to be the destination for everybody.
It was beautiful.
It was clean. It was fun. It was safe. It was beautiful. Yeah. It's sketchy and scary now. I still work for a company that's based in downtown Portland, so I'm back there several times a year. I left about the time that the Occupy movement was going on, and I started carrying police-grade pepper mace. I didn't want to carry a gun because I was afraid I might, you know, use it and then have that used against me, since the law isn't on the side of good people in Portland. But it's bad. People are pulling their businesses out of downtown. Columbia Sportswear pulled out their flagship store because of all this stuff. And the mayor was supposed to be the agent of change, and I follow Portland politics pretty closely. He got intimidated as soon as he got in office by the Antifa and the homeless coalition, and he's done absolutely nothing to make that city safe since then.
So is he with them, or is he just a coward?
I think it's both. I think he's slightly with them, but he's mostly a coward. They actually went to his house and protested and threatened his family. And the moment they did that, he turned into a complete coward and has done nothing but kowtow to the violence and the mobs that take over Portland. I've been there on a couple weekends when that stuff is going on. It is flat out scary. Scary enough as it is. I mean, you can't walk down the street without some homeless person. And there's a lot of homeless by choice in downtown Portland.
Yes.
Harassing you hard, and I'm 6'3" and 215 pounds, and I'm scared.
Wow. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. Alan in Florida also left Portland. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn, for your time. I left 11 years ago. I went to a event that is quite common, and I was threatened by a fella. All he did was learn that I had conservative values. And he threatened me. And what finally broke the camel's back is I found out, it was on the news, about how Portland and Seattle were competing with each other to see who could get the most child prostitutes.
Jesus.
And that was the final straw. I says, that's it. I'm getting the hell out of here. Because those people are dangerous. If they're going to encourage child prostitution, and what they were doing is that I lived in Canada for 3 years, right in the British Columbia area, and they were showing videos on the TV at night about trucks pulling up to the American border and dropping off 10, 15, 20, 25 people at a time to run across the border. And they're Asians primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And the Asians have swamped the entire government of Washington State. They've swamped it. People I know who work for the government there, they say, you can't believe what those people have done. And that was because of the one governor that they had there who was an Asian. And, I mean, he just took the people out of power and put his people in.
Yeah, well, I think we crossed a line here at some point where I'm not really sure we agree on things. I know a lot of Asian people who are wonderful. I'm not sure where you're going with that. Okay, odd, thank you.
Agents at first, and I was like, agents? What are agents doing in this? Yeah. I misunderstood that.
Yeah,
that was
turn. If they are dropping illegals, well, I mean, look. I don't know how to even deal with that.
These are, like, if people are doing things that are wrong, like committing crimes or violating laws, that's the issue here.
Yeah,
really doesn't,
it's not really race.
Yeah, no.
It's not really race. here's the thing. We have...
Usually you see only the racism against Asians from Harvard. It's not normally from...
I know. here is the... Have you ever watched the movie Pale Rider with Clint Eastwood? Oh, it's so good. It is so good. He did it maybe in the early 90s, I think. It was his comeback cowboy movie. It was the first real...
1985.
Wow, it is so good. And it's about this guy who rides into town, and it's this little mining town, and the sheriff is in with the big mayor. And the mayor is the store owner, and he's buying up everything, and it's a mining town. And he wants this one section of town, and everybody, he's intimidating everybody. He's destroying, he's doing what Antifa does. And the police don't help him, and this pale rider comes in, just this one guy. It's Clint Eastwood, and he's a preacher, but he's a guy who, when he first rides into town, he sees these bullies take basically a baseball bat to this one guy who has a property in the mining valley that the mayor wants, and they're beating him almost to death in the streets. And he comes up and he takes, as only Clint Eastwood would, he takes away all of those bats from like the eight guys and leaves them bleeding in the street and helps the other guy up. And he's a preacher. And he tells the people of this area, you've got to work together. You got to stick together. Now, he's also Clint Eastwood, so it helps that he's there, because he's actually the guy who fights them all. But this story is not just a movie. This story has happened over and over again, and mainly in the West. But one of the most famous battles was the Battle of Athens, and that's in Tennessee. The Battle of Athens is one of the best stories of individuals who have had enough I've ever seen. There were a group of World War II veterans that had just come back. The war was over. They had come back to their town of Athens, which had been this nice little town. But while they were gone, some of the men that were left were some of the worst guys in town. And the guy who had become mayor was trying to take over the entire town, and he was shaking people down for protection money, et cetera, et cetera. And he was running both sides. He was allowing people to be intimidated, and then he was calling the shots and ordering for protection money if you wanted to have your store survive. And because all of the men, most of the men were gone, they didn't know what to do. Well, the veterans come back and they see what their town has become, and they realize, wait a minute, we just got back from fighting. This is fascism. This is exactly what we were fighting overseas. And one of the guys decides he's going to run for mayor. Well, that pisses the mayor off. And he's going to make sure that nobody is voting for this guy. And he intimidates and intimidates. And the day of the election, anybody who is black is voting for this new guy, but they're not letting any of the blacks vote. But the veterans start to stand up at the voting booths, and they are going to make sure that everybody gets a fair vote. Well, the mayor has his men with guns there as well. And the first guy to vote in the morning was a black guy, and he was shot to death in the streets as he left. And that started the Battle of Athens. Remember, this is in, you know, recent history. This is not a cowboy. This is right after World War II.
1946, yeah.
1946. They battle through the day, and they finally get they hole up in the armory where they have all of the guns, and they have the voting boxes. They take the voting boxes, which are locked, and so nobody knows who's going to win. And the mayor of the town and the sheriff and everybody else, they have the voting boxes, and they're about to open them up. And so the veterans come in, and they've got guns, and they grab the voting boxes before they're open, and they put them in the armory, and now they're held up in the armory. Well, the sheriff calls out all of his boys and his buddy, the governor, and says, hey, we've got a riot going on here. You need to send for help. Well, by the time the governor and the state troops arrive, there has been a full-fledged war, but who's going to win? The guys who didn't go to war or the guys who did go to war? So they won. As the state police rolled in under the governor, they were expecting that the guys inside were the bad guys. They found out differently, that those weren't the bad guys. The governor knew that, but the state troopers were honest. They took the ballot boxes, which were still closed, opened them up, and the veteran won. But that's an example of people taking their town back. Now, the only reason why the veterans could win is because all guns had to be kept at the armory. We used to have armories. And so every town had an armory where you'd have all the guns in case something happened. Every citizen could go and get their gun. Well, we don't have armories anymore. And the guy who had the key to the armory was one of the veterans. That was the secret. Otherwise, it would have continued to happen. I don't suggest that the people of Portland, you know, grab guns and go in and do this, but it is time to flood the phone banks of the federal government and say, what the hell are you doing?
In the Battle of Athens, what did the Asians do?
Well, the Asians were the Asians and the Jews were behind the whole thing.
Okay, okay,
yeah,
okay,
so.
Good. Glad we figured that out.
Yeah.
The Asians.
Ted Cruz did come out and talk about this, right? He wants
an
done.
Investigation, and he wants charges to be brought against this mayor. And I think there should be. Remember, this mayor is the one that let the FBI fend for themselves. They were in their office. They called for police, and the police chief said, sorry, I can't. You're in the wrong town. The mayor won't let us go and help you. The FBI trapped in their offices in Portland. Sponsor of this half hour is Relief Factor. Relief Factor is so unbelievably great if you have pain. If you have pain and you want to get rid of it, Relief Factor, try it. It reduces the inflammation in your body. All you have to do is call 800-500-8384 and try it for 3 weeks. If you try it for 3 weeks and it doesn't work, then you're out $20. Yes, you are out $20. But 70% of the people who try it, that 70% go on to order more month after month because it works. And I've been taking it now for over 18 months. And I take it every day because it works. It reduces your inflammation and it helps your pain. So many people are either out of pain or had their pain greatly reduced. It is worth a try. Please don't live with the pain. Just give this a shot. It's relieffactor.com. Try their 3-week quick start. It's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com. Welcome to the program. This is the Glenn Beck program. By the way, up at glennbeck.com, this is the last day. It ends at midnight. We will call the poor unfortunate soul that wins the auction for the Hitler painting. I made an anti-Hitler painting based on really propaganda that he used to do, and he used to make the Jews look really, really bad and all of his enemies look bad. So we made Hitler look bad. Mm. And he's holding a newspaper that says 50 million killed. I should have made that 60 million. But I painted right after the Senate failed to protect the lives of the unborn and the born. And he just says over his head, next time, I guess I'll call it Planned Parenthood. Meaning he could get away with murder if he just called it Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. And you can still bid on this today?
Yeah. You go to glennbeck.com. It'll take you right to the site. It has a link to the site. It's up at $6,200. Every single dime goes to the pro-life movement. Mm-hmm. So trying to raise some money for them.
And some people might look at this and think it's like pro-Hitler, but actually it's anti-Hitler, which is anti-fascist, which I guess makes you a member of Antifa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a twisted road.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we've seen how you feel about Asians on the show today. I don't know what's going on here.
Wait, what?
Which is, by the way, interesting. By the way, we had an interesting caller who thought Asians might be the problem. Andy Ngo, very much Asian.
Yeah.
The guy who was hit with a concrete milkshake and beaten to the point of brain bleed.
Yeah.
He is a, not only Asian, he's a gay son of Vietnamese immigrants.
Mm.
And which is interesting.
All I know is
purely from the point that this is what they're fighting against the white patriarchy, we're told.
Yeah.
With the fascists, as the Blaze points out today. It kind of like really not, they may have gone down the wrong road here.
Yeah, one guy beaten with a crowbar and Andy Ngo beaten and is in the hospital with a brain bleed today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we wish him all the best and a speedy recovery.
Strange day for you to align with Antifa, you know.
Okay, shut up. Let me go to that you can find at glennbeck.com. Today is the last day to be able to bid on this, and all the proceeds go to pro-life. Okay, let me go to Jennifer in North Carolina. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
It's my honor and pleasure to finally speak with you. You feel like, you guys feel like, you know, family that we keep in the basement.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow. I appreciate that.
Well, strange compliment.
Strange. Mm. Yes. A little backhanded.
Great. Well, big compliment.
Thank
Love
you.
Love you guys so much. I wanted to bring this point up. So the Portland police are well within their rights to defy the mayor as men of reason and who are supposed to have justice flowing through their veins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, you know, just because they're, I've been, you know, you read on Twitter and you hear different phone calls, you know, on podcasts, and they say, well, they're following the mayor's orders. That didn't work in Nuremberg. I was just following orders. You see someone getting beaten up, you don't say, well, my boss said to stand down. No, you help.
Well, they also...
And they did arrest people. They did step in when they saw it, but they're...
When they finally saw it. They didn't stop it, but they did arrest three people. I think many of the cops are caught between a rock and a hard place because nobody's going to protect their families or children if they do step in. It really has to be all or one, but this is very early SA Germany.
Of entertainment and enlightenment.
I think we need to get a breathing bag for our next guest. She is... She's either having a baby or she's very, very nervous to come on. I'm very, very excited to introduce you to her in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So Simply Safe, your home security is really important. You know, you might want to think about that if you have a house in Oregon. I'm just saying. I don't know how anybody in Portland is living there. Is this America now? Is this what we're doing? Just beating people? One guy's in the hospital today because he was hit over the head with a crowbar by Antifa, you know, because they found out that he was a conservative, which, you know, that's great. That's great. Andy Ngo is now, which, by the way, I think Andy Ngo, who is in the hospital with a brain bleed, and please pray for him. He was beaten in the streets. I just think that somebody needs to give him an honorary doctorate, just because at some point we have to be able to call him Dr. Ngo. I'm just saying. Simply Safe Beck is a place I want you to go if you're looking to protect your home. It is the greatest home security system. They're offering now a special right now where you get a special bonus, 15% off on this package that they've put together for you, plus a free HD camera. Complete protection for your home. Now 15% off. Plus a free HD camera. So it's not like, you know, I love these convenience store cameras. We're like, we're looking for a blob that kind of looks like this. No, this is HD. So you'll know exactly what they look like. SimplySafeBeck.com. Get 15% off plus a free HD security camera at SimplySafeBeck.com. Bridget Phetasy is working once again. She was working at Playboy magazine for a while. She is a controversial woman and a really, I think, important voice that you need to hear. She grew up. She thought she was a liberal. I'm not sure she thinks she's... She doesn't know what she is, I think, at this point, at least last time I talked to her. But she's on a fascinating journey, and she has seen the underbelly of the left and doesn't like it. She's now a contributor writer at Mel, Dame, The Federalist. I'm trying to convince her to come to work here with us, and she's back in the studio. Bridget, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good. That's good to have you.
Might be my only option to work here soon.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, it's usually...
After this.
Yeah, yeah. Usually it is... usually it's the last place you work. not necessarily by choice. So, Bridget, first of all, for anybody who doesn't know you, describe yourself. Who you are.
I was born on the East Coast. I moved every year and a half. That's a very long story. We're not sure why.
Right.
My people ask me if I'm military, but I don't think I was. My dad was in Russia like every year and a half. Every 2 weeks, and we moved every year and a half.
Your dad was in Russia?
He's probably going to kill me for talking about this.
Do you know what your dad did? Was your dad like...
It was during...
I was in the import-export business.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And I was the new girl at schools, and I'd raise my hand, and the teacher would say, like, what does your dad do, Bridget? And I'd say, oh, he buys and sells Russian technology. And I'm like, okay, little Johnny, what does your dad do?
What years was that?
Gosh, I was born in 78, and pretty much until... weirdly, Russia opened up, so
this might be something you might want to have a conversation with.
I have, and supposedly it's just me being crazy.
I've seen this movie. Nicolas Cage is in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw True Lies with him, and we were all looking at him the whole movie, like Dad.
Okay, so Dad was some sort of a Russian smuggler. What did Mom do?
She was a stay-at-home mom. I'm the oldest of five.
Is her name Natasha?
No.
Okay.
I was married to a Belarusian for 5 years, and he was like, Bridget, your dad was a spy. we moved a lot. I'm the oldest of five. I come from a big Irish Catholic family. My dad's one of 10. I have 26 first cousins. But because I moved so much, I had the opportunity to be exposed to all parts of America particular. And I actually hated it growing up. And I used to say my parents should have just named me New Girl because nobody ever knew me. They were like, hey, New Girl. And but it also gave me, I think, tools that I didn't realize I was developing because you're always the outsider looking in. Mm-hmm. And it's uniquely prepared me for this moment I find myself in. Not knowing who I am or what I am, looking, I feel like, at all of the tribes. So I'm used to kind of observing the tribes from the outside.
Are you sick of the tribes?
Yeah, I am.
I am too. I think I would love to see one big tribe, and that is the American Constitution tribe, which would include pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
As long as you agree that, hey, everybody can have their own opinion, their own life, do their own thing. Just don't jam it down my throat. Let's live together. Why can't we be a part of that tribe? What happened to that tribe?
I don't know. It's weird. You were asking how people live in Portland. So I've worked in Oregon, in Southern Oregon, and I have a lot of friends in Portland, and they have kids, and they don't even know what's going on with the Antifa stuff. Because
how do they not know?
Well, they know from the news, but it's not in their neighborhoods. It's not like it's spilling out into the streets everywhere. So my friend said, I asked him yesterday, and he's like, I didn't even hear about it. You don't even know this stuff is going on unless you just avoid that part of town, I guess. But I feel like Portland has become kind of ground zero for the extreme wings of these tribes. The most extreme are kind of playing out their little cosplay fantasies on the streets. To the tune, it's so dumb. I mean, I think it's so dumb. But now it's getting not so dumb.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Now it's
still
dangerous.
Dumb.
Yeah,
it's getting dumber by the minute. But yeah, it's just getting more dangerous.
That was the thing this weekend. What happened? It was chilling for somebody like me who doesn't always, write in lockstep. Seeing a lot of blue check journalists who are affiliated with places like the Huffington Post and the New York Times, mainstream organizations justifying the assault of this journalist.
Well, Eric Weinstein wrote this today.
I love Eric. Hi, Eric.
Too. He's great. He's great.
He's not here. He's just saying,
I know. I'm just saying
we keep
hi.
Him in a box in the other room. So he wrote this, quote, a contributor to the Wall Street Journal was attacked on video by Antifa demonstrators where police were backed away, hospitalized with suspected brain injury after caustic chemicals were allegedly thrown in his face, disguised by domestic terrorist as a milkshake. He says, where is this story? Because the one I read is this. Members of groups opposed to fascism clashed with far-right Proud Boys in Portland demonstrations in which a conservative journalist for a right-wing website, Quillette, was injured. Now, those are the same stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's exactly how it's being reported, if it's being reported.
It's always framed as clashes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right-wing, you know, conservative, and these are people who are just against fascism. They are fascists. How do they not see that?
I'm going to get milkshaked when I go back to L.A. just for sitting here and talking to you.
Can I tell you something? Please. I love strawberry. Fresh strawberry milkshakes are delicious. Yes. You know, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Try to aim for my mouth, please.
It is chilling, though. To the political violence, where does that end exactly? When you're saying it's okay to throw a milkshake, it's okay to spit on people, it's okay to...
Well, but what do you... I mean, we have, as you probably noticed when you walk through and right out of the dressing room area, you know, is, you know, the Klan and...
I was like, what's happening?
We should be clear, we didn't rent them space. There's a museum going on.
There's a museum going on. So you're coming through, but as you're looking at this, I gave tours this weekend of this museum, and it's so clear what's happening right now. And anytime anyone says, shut up, anytime anyone says, you don't have a right to have that point of view, anytime anybody is beating somebody to get them to shut up, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You have a real problem. And I think Antifa is strengthened not only by, in Portland, the mayor's office, but by all of the journalists, by all of the people who say, well, I didn't even know it. I didn't see it going on. I don't pay attention. You need to pay attention. Our country is in trouble right now. And it's also strengthened by this concept that you don't have a valued opinion. You had a valued opinion until you started standing up going, wait, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with everything they're saying on the right. I don't agree with everything they're saying on the left, but I got to take a stand here because this is ridiculous. Look at what you're doing. Once you said that, you're no longer a human.
No, I'm an alt-right. I'm the alt-right. That's it's a little disconcerting to see. What is really worrisome to me is just the justification of it that I'm seeing from people with very large platforms of this is okay, because you want to talk about a slippery slope. And when I was on your podcast, we talked about this. This is the kind of stuff that does lead to self-censorship. If you see a journalist get beat up for covering Antifa in a way that isn't the way the mainstream covers it, and then you see those journalists saying, well, actually... If you in the good faith argument is that they believe, if I believe I'm fighting Nazis, of course you should be fighting Nazis. But the problem is that word fascist has been so, it's this coverall for anyone that disagrees with you. It's been the meaning of it has been destroyed as well as Nazi. So now when we've talked about that, I mean, Dave Rubin and I were saying this. It's like if only anyone was saying this is bad, because now. When you're saying speech is violent, it gives people the right to be violent for speech. And that's
insanity.
It's so hard for me to believe that it's happening.
But if you look again at history, and this is where we have to look for patterns. The only reason to learn history is so you can see patterns. And once you recognize the pattern, it's never going to look the same. Again, history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes. So it looks a lot like, but it's not exactly. So burning books, history rhymes. We're not burning books, but we are taking books out of libraries. We are deleting voices and their opinions online. There's just no actual burning of everything that Steven Crowder or the Weinsteins have done. They've just been banned and relegated and put behind a digital wall. So history, no, they're not burning books. Mm. It rhymes.
They're mobbing people before they even get published. You can't burn a book if it never gets published.
Exactly right.
So it's not even, you don't need to burn the book. Just mob the author until they retract their book from publication and then have to apologize.
Right. And when you look at, well, I want to take it one more place. I'm going to, Take it someplace really dangerous. Let's talk about what was the purchase? What was the purpose of lynching people?
Oh boy!
And Bridget has a lot to say about
I'm like,
this.
What's going on? This is definitely what I'm going to end up trending on Twitter, which I've been trying to avoid.
Well, we're going to try to change that for you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Bridget Fennessy coming up.
I knew it.
In 60 seconds more with Bridget. All right. To Google and Facebook, you are a product. Their entire business strategy is to gather as much data about you and then create algorithms and AI that can replicate you and predict you, but also to be able to sell you products. It's amazing what's happening, and we just don't recognize what's happening. We don't recognize that we are a product and we own our personal data, not Google. We own it. The only way to fight back against manipulation like this is to have a virtual private network. And Norton is the only people that I would trust to have a VPN. Norton Secure has been around forever. They now have Norton Secure VPN. It is truly a private network. It takes all of your internet connections and it encrypts them. I mean, we're talking banking level security encryption. So it appears as gibberish to Facebook or any cyber criminal who's trying to look at or steal your data. You can use Norton Secure VPN with either your laptop or your mobile device. It's easy to use. You just install it, log in one time, and it runs seamlessly in the background. It's Norton Secure VPN. They don't track your online activity, and they don't let anybody else do it either. They are the leader in customer cyber security. Get a Norton Secure VPN right away. Go to Norton.com/VPN. Protection starts at $333 a month. That's Norton.com/VPN. We break for 10 seconds, a station ID, and then Bridget will start breathing heavily again because she's in a panic attack. We're going to get her to trend on Twitter. Okay, so let's talk about just lynching for just a second.
Obviously.
Bridget, you were for it, right? Everybody knows.
Oh, you're trending on Twitter.
The whole point of lynching was not to kill black people. It was to intimidate all other black people and white people. You know, there were between 1880 and 1964, there were about 5,000 lynchings, right around 5,000 lynchings of Americans. Three quarters of them were black. The last quarter of them were white.
White people who were defending.
Defending blacks, and helping, right, and standing up. The idea was to intimidate, to kill those people doing it publicly. Many times they were announced in advance. Hey, we're having a lynching. People would come with picnic baskets. Yeah. Now, those people who didn't come with picnic baskets to watch these lynchings, those were the people that, you know, the mask over the Klan was trying to intimidate, and the lynching was trying to intimidate. Shut up, sit down, don't get involved. Well, that's the problem. Too many people are either uninformed, willful ignorance, or they just don't want to get involved because I think they don't know what to do.
I'm with the don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
But you are.
I know. Here I am.
Yeah, you are. You just told me, I said to you beforehand, because you are nervous about it, because you are a target.
Mm.
I said to you before it went on, I said, you don't have to come on.
I know, you did. That was nice of you.
And you said?
I said, just because I'm afraid of something doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. And I do think it's important to have conversations. And I think a way to fight the idea that you can't talk to somebody who's an alt-right figure.
Yeah, like Glenn
like,
B. Yeah.
Like Stu.
I'm a big alt-righter. Yeah, that's me.
You know what's crazy is we've been standing against the alt-right before it was even called the alt-right.
I see the position that, you know, people like you and Ben Shapiro, because I keep an eye on the far right just to see what they're up to. And it's interesting to me when you guys are constantly getting it from both sides.
Yeah, it's kind of constant. A lonely place to be. Kind of a lonely place. But yeah. It's a great place to be because you are with people like Dave Rubin, the Weinsteins. You're with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a growing. There was time that it was just kind of like, hello, hello, hello. Nobody around. But now it's starting to be filled with really quality people.
I think they're seeing, I think a lot of people are burned out on the tribalism. And when you get out into America, if you're not on Twitter or in the media, you're not necessarily exposed to the level of vitriol and tribalism that we are. I think that James Lindsay was recently posting a study about how actually you're radicalizing yourself if you're on social media a lot, mm-hmm. and Twitter in particular. And I have conversations. One of my patron levels is speaking to people. And I realized recently that there's 21 at that level, 18 of them, every single person's in a different state. And many of them are in swing states who didn't vote for Trump. And I've been asking them how they feel about the election coming up. And I keep screaming at the left. That was kind of how I ended up in the middle, was saying, you guys are pushing people away. You're pushing mm-hmm. voters who are moderates out of your party just mm-hmm. because if you dare to speak out and say, hey, this is maybe crazy, you're now labeled a conservative or mm-hmm. alt-right or worse. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these, the other thing that I noticed and talked to my people about was that there were all of this kind of chicken littling that occurred. The economy is going to collapse. We're going to be in World War III. It hasn't yet. Doesn't mean it won't. But because that didn't happen, a lot of these people who didn't vote for Trump or might have been squishy about it are now like, well, it's not that bad, I guess. And seeing right. that the left is now fully, you know, barreling towards socialism in ways that are not even covert.
Yeah.
I just think that, and that's what I was saying at this point, that I feel like the entitlement of the vote is why don't you care about losing somebody like me? I'm a registered independent. Why don't you care? That's a question I have. Because now I'm just labeled a racist. And that's a certain level of entitlement to just say, well, vote for us or you're racist and hate poor people.
So I need to take a break. But when we come back, let's go there. Because I can't figure it out. I can't figure out, are they just living in such a tight little bubble that they just think everybody thinks the same way as they do? Or what? What is their plan? We'll get to that with Bridget Phetasy, who is hopefully going to be trending on Twitter today for just being on this program, coming up in a second.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right, let me tell you about Blinds.com. Blinds.com, this 4th of July, is having a huge sale, 50% off of everything right now. So if you've been thinking about blind shade, shutters, or drapes, I got to get Blinds.com to make some blinds for our studio window. We have a window in our atrium that is about, what would you say that is? Story and a half? I mean, it's this enormous round window. So I don't know how they're going to make the blinds because they have to be round. But good heavens, man, that sun comes into the window and it's like a magnifying glass and you're an ant. It's a little hot here in Texas. Anyway, 50% off right now, everything at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee. They have design consultants that are with you every step of the way. This is why they're the number one place to buy window treatments of any kind online. Number one choice is Blinds.com. Save 50% off of everything. Plus, just because you're listening, you'll save an extra $20 this 4th of July with the promo code BECK, B-E-C-K. 50% off everything site-wide, $20 extra, promo code BECK at Blinds.com.
Back with more from Bridget Phetasy here in just a moment. You can get her on Twitter at Bridget Phetasy and make her trend today to hopefully ruin her life. Back in a moment.
So, Bridget, we're with Bridget Phetasy. This is the Glenn Beck program. I want to say that because she just is like, she's going to trend on Twitter for being on the Glenn Beck program. In fact, everybody should just make sure that she's trending, that she is here on the Glenn Beck program. She's been trying to avoid trending Because it's bad. When somebody comes to you and
it's
says,
never good.
Yeah, you're trending on Twitter. You're like,
oh, no.
Oh, dear God, what did I say? Yeah. What for this time? You know, it's never good. It's never like, Glenn Beck was a super nice guy.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. Right. Doesn't
happen. You either are dead or you're being mobbed.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. All right. So we were talking about how the Democrats have gone so far to the crazy, radical, revolutionary left. Mm-hmm. And what are they thinking? Let me ask you two questions. First one, I was out for a couple of weeks, and the more out in the, you know, in the farmlands of America, and as I was driving, you know, in this for this vacation, I'd stop in towns and I didn't know their politics, and everybody seemed normal.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, it doesn't seem like we're on the verge of a revolution in America.
Mm-hmm.
But once I read Twitter, Facebook, watch the media, I am convinced we are on the edge of revolution. So do the people in the normal people of America, and I'm talking normal Democrats that we live next door, mm-hmm. not activists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do they buy into this?
No, I don't think they do. I think that, you know, there's always this talk about how you get radicalized to the right if you go on YouTube or Twitter or whatnot. But
so crazy to hear that.
My theory is that there's no pathway to the left, though, because if you are center left, you get silence or you just stay silent, because if you're a moderate, they don't allow very much room for moderate Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And so where's that pathway? Because they're afraid to say anything that's remotely critical of the party.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one theory, is that there's just a lot more of them and they're just quiet and they just go about their day and they work and they.
But are they seeing it because they go on with their work? Are they actually seeing it? Like, I was in Los Angeles and I was talking to a guy who is a lefty,
mm-hmm.
But he's not a guy who's on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. And he said, you know what? I have a real problem. I think you were there, Stu. You know what I have a real problem with is people on your side and this voter ID stuff. And I said, really? That's your issue? He said, yeah, that's my issue. He said, it's ridiculous. Your stance, I don't even understand it. Explain it. I have to go in and I want to buy alcohol. I have to have ID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to do this and I have to have ID. And I said, so you're pro ID? And he said, yes, your stance doesn't make any sense. And I said, that's your stance, dude. That's your stance. Most people are just not thinking. They just hear it.
Mm.
They don't engage. Mm. And so they're just kind of like, oh, I thought you were the violent ones.
Yeah, I was coming here, and
oh boy.
And my sister said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to be on Glenn Beck's radio show. And she's like, who's he?
Really?
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I like that.
And because I was kind of nervous to tell her, I never really know how anyone's gonna react to it.
Yeah.
And she's like, who's that? I was like, oh, that's kind of a relief. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's a. I think that there's a larger group of sane. My dad actually was like, well, I want you to know, Bridge. We were talking on the phone. He said, I want you to know I'm voting for Biden because he's the only one who's not insane.
That's saying a lot. Dad, even Joe Biden's family doesn't have that position.
Yeah, right. But Dad, he's thoroughly corrupt and he might be dead 2 weeks after the election.
I don't care. But that is also, that goes to show he's an old, you know, old school blue blood kind of Democrat on the East Coast.
This is so interesting about this election in particular, in that, like, the most likely outcome here is that the election is decided by Obama Trump voters, people who voted for Barack Obama and then decided to vote for Donald Trump in 2016.
That was 20% of the Trump voters.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that, did you?
No, I mean, yeah. I don't know much.
Well, no, nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. 20%. They always say, well, you know, it's all these crazy right wing. No.
It's largely Democrats that crossed the, you know, the road to vote
crossed
for Trump
the road.
Because they didn't like Hillary. And the the response by the Democrats is to go so far to the left that you're going to alienate those people, I think, even more.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's not even thinking. It's happening, yeah, for sure.
Are you seeing that? Are you seeing people are saying, I'm not, I can't?
Well, and the thing, because I'm kind of this political safe space, people come to me and tell me the truth in L.A. And even in L.A., you're seeing it. I have comedians reaching out to me like, thank God for what you're saying.
But do they say this? I hate this. I hate this. I get this all the time. Thank God for what you're saying. I'm so grateful you're saying. You've got so much courage. I could never say this. Don't repeat this conversation, but thank you. I'm like, wait, so I'm just here taking a bullet for you, dude?
Yeah. And that's what I'm... Yeah, that's okay though, I guess.
Somebody's got to do it at first.
I don't have as much to lose. You have your own thing. You're your own boss. Yeah. I'm my own boss. Mm-hmm. I don't have a family to feed. I don't have, mm-hmm. There are real concerns if you are not, if you get called into HR, if you suddenly say something that you don't want to lose your job because you said something political on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So most people just don't. There's too
it's
much
good.
Risk.
They're smart.
Yeah, it is smart. Mm-hmm. It is. And I don't think everybody should just risk their job so that they can, although there's a part of me that.
If you don't.
Right. I think that, like Claire Lehman said from Quillette, we have to share the risk. If you are seeing this kind of radicalization and moving very far to the right, the more people that do push back and speak out and say, listen, you don't represent us.
I saw this commercial for a new documentary on CNN about the rise of the radical Nazi right, the white supremacist right, and we're going to get down to what's causing this. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm not sure that is an explosion. When you in the 1920s, there was a resurgence of the Klan. I still think, what is it, Bob, Fred, the guy who called about the Chinese or the Asian about an hour ago. I mean, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. However, we should always be aware of it. But when you look at what's causing it, I don't know. I think there's a lot of Americans who are normal, don't hate anybody, and they keep hearing on the news from everyone how bad white people are, and you don't have a place, and we can't have another white president, who actually believe in the Martin Luther King, judge me by the content of my character, not the color of my skin, and they're seeing this happen, and they're getting backed into a corner because no one's standing up. When that happens in a society, and I warned against it in 2008, this causes extremes to rise up because the extreme, eventually, you're standing with these people and they're the only one that is saying anything. And they're saying things like, you know what? That's not right. We don't agree with that. And then they say a bunch of other stuff that's bat crap crazy. But you don't have anybody in society that's even saying, hey, that's not right. And so you kind of find yourself alone in a room when you're like, okay, I don't agree with these guys on anything else, but they're the only ones saying this one thing.
I think the left feels this way too. I think like a lot of the moderate Democrats feel that way. They feel
Where are they?
They can't say anything. They exist for sure. They definitely do. I think I don't know. I don't even know where I stand because, as we know, I just woke up in 2013.
Yeah.
Started learning about America. I'm like, there's a culture war?
Wait, what?
I've been reading Breitbart's autobiography because people keep telling me, they're like, you need to read this. You kind of remind me. He had the same path. And then I was joking with a friend or I was talking to a friend and he's like, have you been liquefying red pills and injecting them? Like, I think Andrew's like radicalizing me from beyond the grave. There's a lot. I see what his perspective is though, because he was in LA. Mm-hmm. And I do think a lot of it has to do with where you are culturally, so where you're living.
Mm-hmm.
So if I lived somewhere like here, maybe I wouldn't be feeling so much pressure to conform. I live in like ground zero.
We found that living in New York, and there's a good thing and a bad thing about it. because I was living in New York, and literally my children couldn't walk with me in the street. My family was called names. They were constantly getting spit on. I mean, it was bad in New York. Finally had to just leave and come to Texas. And it was such a relief to be here. But at the same time, there is something that keeps you sharp by being in the belly of the beast.
Right.
Because you're, and I think a lot of people who are not around radicals, or I give this to people like in San Francisco who are on, you know, who vote Democrat, but you're in San Francisco. You're in this pool where generally everybody agrees with you. Mm-hmm. You're not sharp. You can't defend. You don't know what you really believe because you've never been pushed up to the wall and said, so you really believe that? Really? That's who you are? Mm-hmm. And had to pay a price. And so you've actually examined yourself and went, wait a minute. You know, I remember when Stu remembers this too, when I thought I could get killed for this. This is 2006 or 7. I could get killed. Somebody will come up in the street and kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I want to really believe in the things that I'm saying so I don't die for. It was a joke. I didn't think that through.
That's gonna be how I die, by the way. That will definitely be my it was a joke. I'm kidding.
Wait a minute. If you might be right. I'm not sure. It's kind of bad. It's kind of a bad way to go.
That is the thing that I joke about getting milkshaked in LA. I'm not a big enough deal or nobody knows me, but if I did suddenly trend on Twitter, I might get milkshaked.
Right.
You know, in my it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Would it be okay for us to milkshake you just so you know what it's like? So you get
just
like I'm not afraid of it anymore. I've already been milkshaked by.
It's just it does keep you sharp. It does definitely. It is. It's more the way people just talk, and this is what I've been noticing. Just the way they. It's such an insidious form of forcing kind of compliance with the ideology is just talking as if everyone agrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if a conservative or even a moderate leftist or even a moderate Democrat or center right said anything, it would be crickets in a party in LA or in any kind of social engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else can just go on their, you know, crazy anti-Trump rants and even in like 12-step places where you're supposed to be safe from that. It's just this automatic implied everyone thinks like me. And so, of course, if you don't, you're just going to be quiet. If people are just assuming that everyone in the groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
But groupthink is, I think moving a lot, it's so terrifying. It's like I've always hated cliques, and
so I don't think it's moving a lot. I think. Well, let me take a break, and then can we come back and talk about that? Because we'll talk about it in a minute. Stand by. Make sure Bridget Fetasy is trending on Twitter. You know, our audience is so nice; they'll probably be like, "Glenn, that's not nice. We're not going to do that." Trust me, you should. All right. Our sponsor this half hour, Delta Defense. July 4th is a reminder of all the incredible sacrifices our forefathers made in this country. Here's a reason she should be milkshaked. She was on a show where they were giving away guns for 4th of July. That's right. USCCA, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helps law-abiding citizens like you and me, God forbid, if we ever have to use our gun to protect our family. They offer expert training, education, self-defense for legal protection. And let me tell you something. The bad guy standing in front of you, and God forbid he's going to do you harm and you feel your life is threatened and you have to use your gun, you're through the first hurdle. Now the bad guys with the briefcase shows up. And they're going to make sure that you never see the light of day again. That's what the USCCA helps to stop. And right now they're giving $1,776 away for guns, ammo, and gear. It's called the 4th of July Freedom Giveaway. Yes. proud to be giving away guns to responsible gun owners. Text Beck to 87222, the word B-E-C-K, Beck to 87222. They're going to draw on July 5th, so you have to do it now. You get two chances right now if you just text the word Beck to 87222. I like that. Wow.
Following my dad's footsteps.
Yes, following your dad's footsteps, who we found out was either a Russian spy or an American spy. Which one was he?
Or a double agent.
Or a double agent. Which one do you think?
I don't know.
You know, come on. You had to have thought about this late at night, just going.
Not even late at night. You know,
in the middle of the day.
On the beach. Yeah.
And your chilling. Dad, you've talked to your dad and said, yeah. Dad, you
but he's
sound.
He's a master. Like, it's a funny story. And then it just never answers the question.
That's what a spy does.
I know.
So do you think he was working for our government or do you think he was working for their government?
I really don't know. I think, I don't know.
Really?
I don't. So
you grew up in the show The Americans, where dad's a travel agent. All of a sudden he's, I've got to go meet some clients in Moscow.
I'm going
to
get scooted off in some black car when I walk out of here. Yeah. And you'll never see me again. Just disappeared.
Well, that could be. We wouldn't know exactly who did that to you if that happened.
It could be so many people.
It could be. More with Bridget Phetasy coming up in just a second. Stand by for that. We're going to talk a little bit about, what happened in Portland, but also the elections. Stu has some new poll numbers that are out over the weekend. We'll talk about that all coming up next hour. Thank you very much. I want to talk to you about Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is a company that is not taking your money and giving it to radicals on the left. If you don't agree with Planned Parenthood, you shouldn't be, using AT&T and Sprint and some of these others. If you don't agree with La Raza, you shouldn't be using those big cell phone companies because they have board members on from those institutions. And they give millions and millions of dollars because they take a percentage of their profits and give it to the things that they believe in. And that's great. They can do that. I don't want to fund that. So I need a great cell service that does not give, any of their money to causes that I, am working against. Every time I write a check, I can actually write a check to things that protect freedom of speech. Patriot Mobile's already done about $2 million in the last, couple of years. And they're just getting started on freedom of speech. That's part of their profits that they do. I just want great cell service, okay? And I don't want to fund things that I disagree with. So get a free month of service on all new lines with the offer code BLAZE at Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile. Some plans start as low as $25, and you can get it now. They're making it really super easy right now. I think you get a free month of service if you use the promo code BLAZE at PatriotMobile.com. That's 1-800-A-PATRIOT or PatriotMobile.com. Make sure you mention or use the promo code BLAZE.
The Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
I want to start with some of the new poll numbers that are out. Stu will have those after the debate. Looks like Biden actually went down 10 points. I want to know, where is Marianne Williamson in the poll? I want Marianne Williamson to stay in every single debate. I actually would love for her. Would you pay money to see a debate between Marianne Williamson and Donald Trump? That's a prize fight right there. We'll talk about that in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Since Al Gore invented the internet, cybersecurity has been a constant battle between criminals and consumers. Unfortunately, the cyber criminals seem to be one step ahead of the technology made to protect you and me. That's why there's Norton.com/VPN, Norton Secure VPN. It is the answer that finally gives you the advantage. It's a virtual private network and it allows you to use your servers and use actually other people's servers so bad guys can't access your data. And you know what? Neither can Facebook, neither can Google. It's all digitally encrypted at bank level encryption. It's Norton Secure VPN. So Nobody's tracking you. Nobody's hacking in, trying to steal your data. Norton.com/VPN. The program starts at about $3.33 a month. You can just log on. You download the app. You put in your passcode one time. It loads onto all of your services and encrypts all of your devices. Just go to Norton.com/VPN. That's Norton.com/VPN. So Bridget Phetasy is joining us. She is trying like never before to not trend on Twitter. She is somebody who thought she was a lefty and then woke up in 2013 and went, wait a minute, I don't think those are the things I agree with, but I'm not sure what I do agree with. Face it, you're like Dave Rubin.
I'm just the little lost soul out in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's it. You're like Dave Rubin. I looked at Dave Rubin one time, and he was talking about this early on in his journey, and I looked at him and I said, oh, you will be out.
I don't know if I have a choice anymore.
Yeah. But it is really good. That's why you don't have to sell people on this. Once they have the awakening that you had, they start to ask questions. And when you start to ask questions and you really want to know the truth, it just all falls apart. Just about everything. I mean, it's really like the Matrix. It just all of a sudden you're like, you don't see those guys in the slow motion bullets?
It is appropriate that it's the red pill and the blue pill, that whole idea.
Yeah. Let's go over some of the debate numbers, Stu.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting to see these debates. They're early on, right? Mm-hmm. They could very easily come and go. These mm-hmm. big moments that the media obsesses about mm-hmm. Very easily could come and go. There was a couple things, though, that happened in the debate that I think actually made a difference. So what 538 did, which was pretty interesting, was basically poll a bunch of people through a polling firm before the debates, then poll them again after the first one, and then poll them again after the second one mm-hmm. to see where people sort of switch. So it's a lot of the same. It's mm-hmm. the same people kind of mm-hmm. giving. I always think that's an interesting, more interesting way of polling, because you never know when you're reaching out to different people. They may have had that opinion the entire time. Mm-hmm. These are the same people and kind of how they moved throughout the debates. Mm-hmm. And you pointed this out, Glenn. Joe Biden had a significant decrease among this group. Before the debates, they were at 40. He was at 41.5%, which is pretty high, mm-hmm. by the way, for a Biden poll. That's he did very well on that one. And then dropped off to 35% after the first debate, which he was not in, right?
Which is odd.
Why is that?
Yeah. I think it's like, you know, it's what's in front of you,
right?
You see how fluid people are on these things. Like, I'm with Biden, but, you know, Elizabeth Warren looked good today.
Right.
So now I'm with Warren, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he went from 41.5% down to 35% after the first debate. The second debate he was in, and he went down again.
well, for good reason.
To 31.5%. Mm-hmm. Now, 31.5% is still a major lead. This mm-hmm. is not it's not a bad position to mm-hmm. be in. And I think the thing with Biden is, he can take a couple of stinkers. Like, he can have a couple of bad days and still win this nomination. He just can't constantly be in that state, right? Like, you can...
So you're saying it would be bad if next debate he was down to 21%?
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
I want to make sure I follow.
And I mean more specifically his performance level, mm-hmm. though. It's not just... People will move away from him if they see him as too old, if he keeps flubbing his lines. Like, what was the thing he said? What was his gun policy, Glenn? He was all about he was the first person who was able to ban the clips in the guns. I was like, what do you mean you ban the clips in the guns? That's not
there are
a
no
thing.
Clips in the guns.
What is happening? So he's had a bunch of those moments. He's an imprecise speaker, as he's always been.
Oh, yes.
But that's different than looking like the world's moving a little too fast for you.
And I think that's what I'd like to hear your point of view, Bridget. I think he looked old, out of touch. I think Kamala just killed him. Did you even watch the debate?
Yeah, you could tell.
I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. I didn't watch them.
Oh. Good for you.
Good for you.
Well,
we've been telling our audience, don't watch the debates. That's what you pay us for.
I had family in town, to be fair. Mm-hmm. And we went to the desert, and she's the one who didn't know who you are. So
okay,
not the most political member of my family.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, I hear him. I'm on Twitter, so I heard a lot about it. And it did seem like, I guess he felt like he wasn't prepared. Did he say something? He was upset that he felt like he wasn't prepared.
Well, he wasn't prepared for something he should have been prepared for. He knew that Kamala Harris was going to come at him. Somebody was going to come at him and go, hey, dude, you know that segregationist thing you said that you were hanging out with them and we'd all have dinner together? Probably not a good idea. So he wasn't prepared. And Kamala came out and she was like, she's a great storyteller. She's a prosecutor. And she came out and she said, you know, that really hurt because there was this little girl in L.A. that had to go to school,
made it blah, personal. Blah,
and it was me. And he just kind of looked like, oh, boy, I think I might have just pooped my pants a little bit.
It was similar to that.
It
was.
It did not look good. Mm-hmm. It did not look good.
And I think there's that argument. If you want to make the pro-Biden argument, it's, you know, the guy's a little rusty. Right? He hasn't done one of these things in a while. He has not been campaigning like these other people have.
I also think he's the unnamed Democrat. Whenever you look at these polls, whoever's in office, they'll come and poll, Barack Obama running against the unnamed Republican. And the unnamed Republican wins. Well, that's because everybody's like, well, if I had my guy, he's a Republican in there, he would be like this. And then once you name the Republican, you're like, okay, not that guy.
That's why these polls right now showing what Trump is doing against really any of these people doesn't make a difference. Because once it's one-on-one, he's going to do what he can to define his opponent.
Mm-hmm. And what's his strategy against Marianne Williamson? That's what I want to know.
That's a good
point. What's he going to do?
That's a good point. There's nothing he can do.
How are you going to compete with magic?
Or love. Right? Magic love. And love.
Magic and love.
There's no way to beat
I'm
that.
I'm voting for Marianne.
You're already in.
She's got her course in miracles. Miracles can happen.
Should I skip to Marianne in the polls here?
Yeah.
I want to see if she is in here. Hold on. Let's see.
Did she go up?
Marianne Williamson started the debates at 0.2%. Okay. Then after the first debate, she did fall to 0%.
No.
Really? However, she lost 0.2.
After the second debate, came right back up to 0.2%.
There she is.
She held
her
own.
She's harnessing love.
Yeah.
It's sad that after she was talking about love, though, she went down. Right. Americans are like,
No, she wasn't in the first debate.
Right.
No. She wasn't in the first debate.
Okay, so she was
the second debate. She wasn't talking. She was not at the kiddie stage.
She just fell because, you know.
Yeah, because she wasn't there.
No one knew who she was.
Right. Everybody's like, I don't know who Marianne Williamson is.
We talked about Kamala Harris. And if you think, you know, these little debates, they don't necessarily, like, you have a great moment in a debate and you're all of a sudden winning, right? But it does make a big difference. Kamala Harris started at about 8% before the debates. She wasn't in the first one and went down to about 6%. After her big moment against Joe Biden, up to 16.6.
Wow.
So, I mean, she more than doubled her initial support levels.
I think she's the most dangerous one.
If you're
rooting for Trump, she's the one I think could win.
My friend on Twitter has this prophecy, and he said that he believes Kamala will secure the nomination, she will win the popular vote, and Trump will increase the electoral, and everyone on the left will melt down.
That's a fun one.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. Because
yeah.
I will say, you know, the thing about these, the reason why this is so beneficial to a Republican candidate, you have 24, 25 candidates all on the left, all falling over each other to get further left than the other people. So Kamala Harris taking some extreme positions in her debate, the outline of her policy structure for debates is not something that's been focused on because, you know, it's the everyone kind of agrees. They're all on the left. Her going further and further left, however, hurts her when she comes back to the general, right? Because here, you know, one of the things she took heat from and is taking heat from other Democrats is her efforts as a prosecutor, where she put a lot of people, she at times appeared to be tough on crime. Well, that hurts her now. She gets the nomination. She's going to be putting it in her own commercials, right? Because the right will say, well, at least she's tough on crime. It's so bizarre that the way this happens, if she goes too far left, however, it's going to be impossible to bring it back to the middle at all.
And I'm just waiting to see who's the first one who's like, you know what? I think we misunderstood Pol Pot. Some of the people that he killed,
well, you had,
they belonged in the field.
De Blasio is quoting Che.
I know.
I saw that.
In Miami, too, of all places.
He apologized, all right.
He said it was a mistake. He didn't know.
I mean, sure, his master's is in Latin American studies, but how would he have any idea?
I had no idea.
No,
Che. Che who?
He's wearing a t-shirt.
Other candidates. So Bernie went 14 to 17, so he actually went up a little bit, which has kind of surprised me in that I did not think he did much of anything. I mean, he just does the same performance every single time. Buttigieg actually went down, which was, I thought, surprising. He announced huge fundraising numbers today, $25 million, which is going to be in the top two or three for sure for this quarter. But he started at about seven and went down to about five. These are all minor differences. Booker went down slightly. Beto went down by about half, from a four to two.
Beto is just a Beto zero, thing. Man. He is. I'm so happy. As a Texan, I am so happy the rest of the country is seeing this now. Because we've all been saying the whole time, this guy's a zero. Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He has no soul. He doesn't care.
I said on Twitter that Beto is the guy that leaves his girlfriend because he has to go find himself.
Yeah, I guess.
He needs to go on a like spirit journey.
With maybe Marianne Williamson. Maybe they make a good president, vice president.
That is great.
Yeah, I would have a vice president that has no idea who he is. And through the course in miracles, he's going to find himself, and he's going to be a great vice president.
And can we turn
years.
This into the reality show in the White House?
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
The other one who stood out in that first debate was Castro. Remember, he had a pretty good debate the first time. But again, he went from 0.7% to 2.1 after his debate, then down to 1.7%.
What about Warren?
Warren went down slightly. Up slightly, 12.6% to 14. So...
I thought she did really pretty well in that first debate, but I mean, that's.
What she had to do, which was basically not really stand out. Don't make any huge mistakes. You don't need a huge moment if you're Elizabeth Warren against nine candidates that no one knows, right? You need to do that. If you're like Kamala Harris, needed that to stand out. Like, because it could have been a Bernie Biden back and forth between the top two people. She was able to make it hers, and just shows how stupid Sanders was for not trying to do the same thing. Because basically she was able to steal that entire night by just challenging Biden. The first night, no one did. Mm. You know, the first night, no one did. And the second night, really, it was only Kamala Harris and Bennett. And Bennett, like, no one knows who Bennett is. He did. Someone pointed out that he looked like the person that Saturday Night Live would put on as a generic senator. And that connected with me. That kind of...
I spent most of the night going, who the hell is this? Put the name on the screen. I don't know who the hell this is.
And you're in this business.
I know. I saw Marianne Williamson. It was... who is the one with the Pepe Le Pew gray streak? What's her name?
Oh, Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes.
And I'm looking at her, and all I could see is the gray streak. And I'm like, I don't remember seeing anybody with a gray streak. Who the hell is that? And their name came out. I'm like, that's who you are, really? Huh? I've heard so much talk about you. And no.
Oh,
but which one was Yang? He's night two?
Well, he only talked for about 9 seconds. But he was on night two.
Okay.
Yeah. He unfortunately did not get any questions. He said his microphone was off.
I heard that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. They say that it wasn't, but that's what Yang said. And it's tough. You got to be, if you're an Andrew Yang that most of the country has never heard of, and then you invite them to these debates and they stand on the end and never get a question asked. It's really a disservice. I mean, if you're going to invite them, you have to ask them some questions. But I was at a birthday party for one of my kids' friends this weekend. You know, you're sitting around talking to the dads and they're, you know, they, of course, bring up politics because they think that's what
my
I want to talk about.
My invitation must have been lost in the mail.
Yes, it was. Darn this. That's why I'm supporting someone who's going to remake the postal industry. Because this happens every time there's an event.
Every year, it gets lost. Strangely not invited.
I was talking about the debates and I started going on about, you know, Kamala Harris. And I was blabbing on, and about halfway through it, he just looks at me and goes, is that the lady from California? And I was like, this is where America is.
Yeah,
like, they've never even heard of these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
No idea, especially when it comes to just the differences between them.
Yeah.
You have to be a hardcore activist in, like, Iowa to care at all at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, a lot of us sit here and obsess about this stuff. You realize it's just not who America is.
No, they're too busy trying to make a living and going, taking kids to birthday parties.
Yes, exactly.
And it's summer
or
and the
not
kids are
taking
home.
Their kids to birthday parties. You know, that also happens.
You really didn't get it. I mean, because the invitation was
sure.
We sent.
More in just a second.
Oh, I found
1 minute
it on the
minute
floor of my car.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Federal Reserve has indicated it intends to keep interest rates low for the rest of the year. So right now we have an opportunity to get our financial house in order and set our course for our family's future. History tells us last night we became the longest
period of recovery in our nation's history as of midnight last night. Now, seeing that we're breaking all kinds of records, at some point it's going to go the other direction. So don't buy into all of the hype. Don't buy something that you can't afford. The rates aren't going to last forever. Take advantage right now and take care of your primary need of a house that you want, a house that you can afford. Lock in those rates. Maybe a consolidation loan to get rid of all of the high interest debt that you have. Afford the monthly mortgage payment on the house that you want and do it with the people that are going to make sure that you're not getting yourself roped into some sort of a deal with a bank that they're going to screw you in the end when things fall apart. AmericanFinancing.net, they work for you, not for the banks. They are not taking commission from the banks. They don't get any bonuses from the banks. They work for you. AmericanFinancing.net. Call them now at 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net. 10 seconds, station ID. So, Bridget, she trending yet on Twitter? No. No.
She is, but they spelled your name wrong, so don't worry. Okay. You'll be fine.
So, Bridget, what was it that made you finally go, ooh, I can't go there?
I think it was just a combination of a lot of things. And by the way, I don't even know where I stand or who I'm voting for or what I'm doing. I was joking.
I appreciate the fact that you are open about this. Most people are not open. They're not willing to say, I don't know, and then follow it with, but I am looking into things.
Yeah, I am. I definitely, you know, when I was on your podcast, we were joking about how little I know, and that's not going to be cute for very long.
Yeah,
I have to do a little bit of research, and I would love to just take a year off and read, I think, and I'm not in that position where I can do that, so I have to try and inform myself as quickly as I can. But then every time I kind of come where I feel I'll land in a place where I'm like, okay, there is a moderate place for me on the left. And then something like Portland happens. And then I see the way that the journalists respond. And those are the moments where I'm like, oh, no, we can't. This is the thing that kind of pushed me out, was seeing this intolerance to diversity of thought and having now this kind of escalating idea that violence is okay as long as you're fighting fascists, and who gets to determine who the fascists are.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just the mob, essentially. So that's terrifying. And I think too, what I've noticed, and from, I get tons of emails about this from people who are like me. There's a lot of people like me who were kind of apolitical. Now they woke up and the culture wars are going on. And I think when you get down to the insanity of Trump and whatever the chaos in the White House and the chaos of that, and then the fundamental kind of challenges to our ability to speak freely and say things like boys and girls are different, people will pick the thing that they see as not lasting. They'll go with Trump. I think it's, if they're backed into that corner, they're going to say, well, theoretically, Trump isn't going to be emperor. This will be over. Mm-hmm. And I'll go with something that is crazy for a short time, as opposed to something that is fundamentally changing the way that
Everything works.
Yeah.
I think the Democrats, and I'd love to hear your opinion on why they're doing this. The Democrats are openly coming out and saying, we want to make large structural changes to our economy, the economic system, the systems of America. And I think as long as the economy is fine, most people are going to say, oh, wait. Hold it. I don't really even understand that.
And
it plays into exactly what you said. Back in just a minute. Stand by.
is the Glenn Beck Program.
So if you've ever gotten jewelry for Christmas and disguised it by putting it in a much bigger box or a robin egg box, that's the thing. It kills me. You can buy Tiffany boxes online. Just buy the boxes. That's okay. That's good. Like you're scamming your wife or your loved one. That a problem? Anyway, you know scams are bad. Blah blah blah. You don't want to scam people, and you don't want to be scammed. It's really important with Norton Secure VPN that no one is going to get the chance to get into your internet connection. They encrypt all of your internet connections, even public Wi-Fi, cloaking it so it's unusable to anybody who's trying to watch your activity. Nobody can track your browsing activities, app usage, or location, and that's what makes you a product in today's world. Get off of that. Get a secure VPN from Norton. Just sign up now, norton.com/VPN. Starts at about $333 a month if you sign up for a year. It's well worth it. norton.com/VPN.
And if you care about the voices you like going away, you might want to try blazetv.com. blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn and you'll save $10.
It was an amazing weekend here at the Mercury Studios. We opened the doors again. I felt a little like Willy Wonka opening up the back door and welcoming the first guests through the Mercury Studios. We did 12 score and 3 years ago, The Unfinished Promise of Unity. We have the Gettysburg Address here. We have the Emancipation Proclamation, the 14th Amendment. You can see them firsthand in Lincoln's handwriting. It's amazing to sit there and look at these things. And we urge you to come and reflect on what freedom really means and how freedom sometimes is hard fought. And what is our responsibility today? You know, you can talk about, oh, our founders, they were screwed up. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. They should have done more on slavery. Okay, that's cool. We can debate that all day long, and we can look at it, and we do in the museum. We show you the different things that they were debating at the time. But aren't we writing history ourselves today? How's history? 250 years from now, are people going to go, you know, those people in 2018, boy, what was wrong with them? I mean, they knew their phones were being made by slaves in China. They knew that North Korea had actual concentration camps, but they didn't do anything about it. What was wrong with them? Yeah, they're like us. They're going to say those things. So what are we doing today? Join us for Independence Day, July 4th. I'm going to be giving tours, and I'd love to have you on our tours. I'd love to meet you, shake your hand, say hello, and walk you through 12 score and 3 years ago. It's here at the Mercury Studios in Las Colinas, Texas. It's right outside of Dallas. Bring your family. Also, it is open the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and it closes on the 7th. 7th is the last day. So join us now. You can get all of the information and your tickets now at mercuryone.org. Come spend the Independence Weekend with us at the Mercury Museum, mercuryone.org. With Bridget Fetisi, who is there a little part of you that's reluctant to be here?
That's a good question. Not reluctant. I'm projecting onto what other people are going to think and say about it. And that's not really any of my business, to be honest.
How have you put up with this? Because you've been very open about, and I want to talk to you about this at some point. You know, you've had suicidal tendencies
I wrestle.
Yeah, you wrestle.
I wrestle with the darkness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like many out there.
And I know what that's mm-hmm. like. And I know that you've just lost your identity, you know, really.
Yeah.
You've what you grew up thinking you were, you know, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had some really good friends and people that you respected really turn on you. How have you dealt with that personally?
No one likes to be rejected, you know, that's, and I think this is the danger, and this is the reason I kind of keep screaming at the Democrats, is that shaming people didn't work in 2016. Why would it work now? And rejecting people because they might have questions or maybe don't believe, agree with everything in lockstep. I don't see how that's very effective. I've dealt with it by, I feel like I'm actually kind of hiding a bit, so I don't even know that I am dealing with it. I definitely haven't been going on, getting up and going on stage as much as I want to be doing comedy, because I know that it's my own insecurity around my peers that I know most of them, I know how most of them feel because I follow them on Twitter, and a lot of them have unfollowed me on Twitter because of things I've been saying.
Comedians?
Yeah. And rightfully, you know, that I'm not going to like cry myself to sleep about that. That's their right. And they maybe just don't want to see that in their feed. And, but these are people that were friends or at least acquaintances. So that, and again, that's not like, I have to just get up and do it and what, get milkshakes.
It's
if that's the case.
It's amazing to me how many comedians, who do we have on Friday?
Nick DiPaolo.
Nick DiPaolo.
Yeah. I think he's so funny. Yeah.
He's so funny.
I love
and
him.
And he's like just, he just sets the stage on fire.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that on Friday, that comedians, they're on the forefront. they're on the battlefield. They're on the front line, supposed to be. And should be the ones that are pushing the culture and the counterculture, you
right.
know. I think he's very Lenny Bruce myself. Mm-hmm. He goes out and he's saying everything that he knows is not popular.
Did you guys see the Colin Quinn special on CNN?
No.
No, Colin's great though.
Oh, it was so good. But he jokes about this on the special. He said, I don't know about you guys, but I got into comedy so I could maintain the status quo. And you can see that he's trying. And I think it was so effective of him to try and get that on CNN because he's
so
kind of like me.
Yeah. People who are listening to our show, what is this CNN thing that you
he
speak
just
of?
Did a com? Oh yeah, CNN is a network. What is this CNN that she speaks?
I remember years ago there being a news place. Are they still in business? Wow.
I appreciate that there's, you know, balance here. I think it was good of him to do that there because I feel like he's a bit like, and immediately, you know, he was getting piled on for saying such blasphemous things.
It just amazes me how many people, and this happens on both sides. We are not thinking, we're not rooting ourselves in principles, we're rooting ourselves in tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happens, it's very easy just to drift because you don't have any, you don't have any navigational stars to look up to anymore.
And it's scary to not have a tribe when everybody is tribal.
Yeah.
There's a reason why, the appeal of tribes.
Right. And there is there's a reason. There is, you know, through, you know,
like
millions
evolution.
Of years. Yeah, no, seriously. You're not going to make it if they kick you out of the tribe. You're going to get eaten by a dinosaur or a, you know, saber-toothed lion. Mm-hmm. And so you huddle together.
Yeah.
And so when you're out and everybody else, you see the campfires at night and you're like, you're just trying to spark a rock and you've never done it before. You're like, I'm going to get eaten tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight's the night I'm gone.
Isn't Jonah Goldberg the one who's always saying that, you know, tribalism is actually it's our default. It's kind of our setting. And that
it is.
The modern way we've been living we're reverting actually.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I definitely understand the instinct. I have to always try to, it's hard to, and people like myself get attacked, you know, for being like a dirty centrist or trying to both sides everything. And I think a lot, what they underestimate is a lot of us are just trying to figure it all out. And then it's easy to, when you're kind of taking hits from both sides, it is exhausting, and I can understand why mm-hmm. it would, the natural reaction would just be to like fall into a tribe. And because,
well, especially since there is no tribe in the middle, there's yeah. no tribe, and I don't mean in the middle, just for people who are like, I don't agree with either of you.
I don't
guys.
Agree with everything
correct.
From either of you.
Correct.
Right.
There are things that I could pick and choose and go, okay, that makes sense. And over here, that makes sense. But I'm not allowed to have that conversation. I'm not allowed to say, well, that piece makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that piece, what they're saying here makes, you know, that's true. You're not allowed to have that. And both sides can become so militant. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen this with some Trump supporters, to where if you're not on fully the Trump train,
like full MAGA.
Yeah. You're a dead person. You know, they don't want to even talk to you. And it's like, what are you doing?
That's the same.
Yeah.
And
what are you doing?
That's what I was going to ask you too, is that, do you find that you have to, that you get pushback if you say, well, oh, maybe something, you know, when you call out the hypocrisy on the right, like when you see,
everyone loves that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It makes us very popular.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think there's always been the people who just do talking points, right? That's always been around. And there's always been people who I think try to be thoughtful about mm-hmm. what they're doing. And those people still exist today. I'm concerned that the thirst for that is not really around anymore. Like there's
right.
there's not as much of a, you know, because I always find the person, if I'm on Twitter or I'm watching a show and the person is coming out, I know what the issue of the day is. And if I can predict what they're going to say every single day, there's no reason for me to be there.
Right.
Right? Like there's no reason. Like
right.
I like going to hear someone say something that's going to surprise me a little bit, at least give me a little bit of a challenge in mm-hmm. some way. Like so.
However, on the right, it has been, you're so alone usually on the right when the media, you're getting, you know, just hammered by the media, especially before Fox was around, hammered by the media.
Mm.
And so you really kind of listen to people over and over again who, you know, you knew exactly what they were going to say or
right.
thought you did, because there's nothing in your tank by the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a natural instinct.
Yeah.
Although I do think that it made the right better at new media, because you had to go to AM radio. Mm-hmm. You were basically.
Yeah, we have to be successful.
You had to go online.
Too.
Yeah. So this is where I think with it just seems like the left is a little trying to catch up a little bit with the.
Which
I feel
is
like
so
they're
crazy.
Losing. Yeah,
right.
I know.
It's crazy because they were the ones, Silicon Valley, they're the ones that have it. We always felt like we were in the dinosaur, you know, dinosaur town. And all of a sudden, we're the ones that are good with memes.
Yeah.
We're the ones that are good. I mean, that's crazy.
We had Tim
well,
Pool.
You're winning the meme wars.
Yeah. Well, Tim Pool was on the other day and he said that basically. He's like, yeah, well, I think, you know, I think just the right is better at the internet than the left. And it's the same premise in Michael Malice's new book. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of that in there. And it's like, that to me is just like a stunning statement. Like, we are supposed to be the ones that always lose those battles, you know?
Right.
But it's a wild west.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys were like, okay, we can go stake our claim mm-hmm. and do whatever we want and say whatever we want and use it. And when you have the mainstream media at your disposal, you don't need to do that.
Right. And now...
Yeah, we left, when I left even Fox, I mean, one of the things, we never said this at the time, but every day for a year, I looked at Stu and I said, we have got to get out of here. This whole thing, meaning all media, it's going to burn itself to the ground. And I don't want to be a part of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
We started this, you know, way too early, but we started this, and it has it's put us in a pioneer sort of
right.
position, which you think, who else was doing it? It was Adam Carolla, but when we started doing this kind of, when we started actually putting television quality stuff, it was Major League Baseball, and I believe HBO was the only one that's doing it.
Uh-huh.
And
there's a good reason for that. It was called buffering. None of the freaking videos would load half the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come watch our big important special. You're not going to be able to watch it for a while.
Yeah.
You have to start. You'll get through it.
I tell you what, start downloading it and then come back maybe Wednesday night right. and you'll be able to watch that special. Okay, back in just a second. Let me tell you about our sponsor. this half hour. It's Simply Safe. Simply Safe, having something great for 4th of July. Simply Safe will keep your family safe. If I'm just saying, if you're living in the outskirts of Portland, you might want to consider it. I'm just saying. Simply Safe system has the entry sensors, the motion sensors, glass break sensors. They spent like 2 years in their testing of glass break, because there's a difference between the sound of a glass that you drop in the kitchen and a window pane. And, you know, when they first started doing it, it was like, yeah, you don't want to send for police every time you drop a plate in the kitchen. They have really thought all of this stuff through. It is all wireless. You own the system. It is really inexpensive. You're going to be so, I'm being frank with you, if you've ever had home security, you're going to be so pissed off you were paying $50 a month because of, well, you got to pay for the home security. When you see actually what it costs to build this stuff and what Simply Safe is charging, you're going to be a little pissed. 15% off right now. They've put a package together plus a free HD camera. Complete the protection for your home. All you have to do is go to simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com. Save 15% and get a free HD camera at simplysafebeck.com. So in Portland over the weekend, journalist Andy Ngo was beaten. He's in the hospital for a brain bleed today. The mainstream media doesn't seem to care about it. In fact, they're still supporting Antifa. Here is the actual audio.
No, no!
They're spraying him. I guess it's silly string, but they also sprayed him with some sort of toxic chemical on him. That might have just been a McDonald's milkshake. I'm not sure.
There's with no like milk in those. Quick drying cement or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
it,
yeah. Quick drying cement. Hmm. Yeah. What'd you say?
Oh, they don't know that though. I don't think. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, no, this, it hasn't it's been reported, right? We don't
McDonald's
know.
McDonald's is your sponsor.
So this is going on, and there was another guy that was beaten with a crowbar, just an old guy walking down the street. They found out that he was conservative-leaning, I guess, and that's just not good enough, so they beat him with a crowbar.
Would you rather be hit with a concrete shake and attacked, or be described by your employer as elfin? Which one would you prefer? Because Andy Ngo, in the Quillette article about, in his defense, it says Andy Ngo is a elfin, soft-spoken man.
What does that...
This means he's short
also
and
makes
lovable?
Toys and gives them to strange children at certain times of the year. That's not what it is.
It is a very weird description.
Yeah, look for him in your chimney.
Wait a minute, what? our thoughts and our prayers, which both actually count, go out to Andy Ngo. And we'll have more of this discussion later. And back here on radio tomorrow, tonight, 5 o'clock on Blaze TV. Thanks.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.